Hello, my Walking with Jesus friends. Are you a runner or jogger or hiker or just a walker? If so, what types of distances are normal for you running or walking? I have a friend who has run over 100 marathons. The thought of that overwhelms me. Can you imagine what it would be like to be part of a group of about 50,000 people walking about 750 miles together, hauling all of their belongings? That's what happened in 538 BC as Jewish captives in Babylon were given freedom from captivity by King Cyrus. Cyrus had furthermore urged these freed exiles to return and rebuild their hometown Jerusalem, and especially the Temple of God, which had been destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC. We find the record of this in Ezra chapter 1. Today, let's rejoin this amazing caravan leaving captivity in Babylon. We presume they followed the well-traveled trade route northwest from Babylon along the Euphrates River to Aleppo, a journey of about 500 miles. Then they would have turned south, passing Damascus and finally arriving at the ruins of Jerusalem, about another 250 miles. We've known that ancient Jews kept meticulous family ancestral records, and Ezra chapter 2 gives us a long listing of the families who made this journey. Ezra 2 verse 64 records, "The whole company numbered 42,360, besides their 7,337 male and female slaves. And they also had 200 male and female singers. They had 736 horses, 245 mules, 435 camels, and 6,720 donkeys." Now, why would God want us to know such detail? Does it really matter? Everything matters in God's story, my friends. More than 7,000 slaves tells us that while these Jews were captives, they were not destitute. Many of them had become fairly wealthy while in Babylon, and they brought their servants with them. Rebuilding Jerusalem would be no small task. None of them would arrive at Jerusalem and move right back into their homes. Their homes were demolished. This restoration of Jerusalem project before them would be a massive undertaking. And of course, hauling all of their personal belongings, plus all the resources King Cyrus sent with them, required carts and wagons and lots of animals. Can you even imagine what this caravan looked, sounded, and smelled like as they slowly walked along? Remember, they could only go as fast as the slowest person and animals traveling with them. Is it safe to assume this trip took at least 3 months and maybe more? We should assume they would have rested and not traveled on their Sabbath day each week. As they finally came over the hills surrounding Jerusalem, their emotions must have been both great joy to once again see the familiar Kidron and Ben Hinnom valleys and Mount Moriah in between, but also very great sadness to see nothing but rubble in all directions, especially on the Temple Mount area. Ezra records, "When they arrived at the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, some of the heads of the families gave freewill offerings toward the rebuilding of the house of God on its site." Ezra 2, 68 and 69. Identifying the distinctive rubble of the temple on the Temple Mount as distinguished from all the normal city rubble of houses and city walls must not have been difficult. Likely, the emotional upswell which rose up among this huge throng must have been heard miles in all directions. Ezra reports that the horrible sight of the demolished rubble stirred their hearts, and a great financial outpouring resulted. While these exiles had not yet rebuilt their homes or started their businesses, they at least wanted to start a stockpile of resources so cleanup and construction could begin soon on the temple. For the temple was their priority. Why? Because it was their identity as a people of God. The temple drew them together in their primary purpose for existence, to be a people of God among whom God himself would reside. God had promised King Solomon, "My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever." My eyes and my heart will always be there. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. If you've ever moved from one place to another, you remember, I'm sure, the huge project of setting up your home in a new place, cleaning and repairing and making changes to your new house, all before you can finally settle in. How long did it take you the last time you did that? For my wife and me, this last move was 3 months before the house was settled. Ezra tells us the priests, the Levites, the musicians, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants settled in their own towns, along with some of the other people, and the rest of the Israelites settled in their towns. Ezra 2, verse 70. I assume these other towns included places like Nob, just to the east. Do you remember that little town where David reclaimed the huge sword of the giant Goliath he had killed? 1 Samuel chapter 21. Some Bible scholars believe the tabernacle may have been there at Nob for a while after the destruction of Shiloh, because the priests there spoke of the bread of the presence being there when David requested food. I presume these returned exiles also settled in Gibeah, the hometown of Saul, Israel's first king, which was a few miles to the north of the Jerusalem rubble, according to 1 Samuel chapter 10. And of course, Gibeon, a few miles further north, which was the place where King Solomon went to meet with God as he assumed the kingship from his father, King David, 1 Chronicles chapter 1. To the south of the Jerusalem rubble, I presume some of these returned exiles settled in and rebuilt Bethlehem, the hometown of King David, 1 Samuel 16, and of course, the birthplace of Jesus 535 years later, according to Luke chapter 2. And finally, maybe some of these exiles settled east of the Mount of Olives and began the little towns of Bethany and Bethpage. Do you remember them? Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived in Bethany, and it was Bethpage where the disciples retrieved the donkey that Palm Sunday morning for Jesus' famous ride to Jerusalem, according to Luke 19. I think let's pause right here, friends, and watch these people in their hard work of clearing the rubble and beginning to rebuild their homes. You know the emotions and hard work involved. As tiring as this hard work was, I wonder if they often sang praises to God as they worked. Years before, when they had been hauled off as slaves from this place, watching it burn, none of them would have ever imagined they or their children would have the great privilege of rebuilding this historic, glorious city, Jerusalem.